The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Irish Racing Podcast, where on this edition we're going to be focusing on Thursday's action from Fairy House, where we have seven races in store, the first getting underway at 5:50pm. Joining myself, Michael Wood, to preview this evening's card from Fairy House is Andy Holding. Good morning, Andy. How are you?
Good morning, Michael. I'm very well, thank you.
Well, Andy, there's lots of value on offer this evening. What would be the highlights for you on this card?
Yeah, there's one or two punting opportunities, actually. It might not be obvious to some, but quite like the claimer in the opening race. We'll get onto that straight away. Don't get many claimers in Ireland, so a little bit of an odd-looking shape to it. There's one in the 750, which I think is worth keeping an eye on, which might have gone under the radar of some. And then there seems to be two solid each-way bets in the last two races. So, plenty of chance for the regulars to the podcast to maybe nick a few quid tonight at Fairy House.
Well, let's get underway in that opener at 5:50 at Fairy House. We've got seven runners for this claiming race. It's over 1 mile and two furlongs. And there's an early favourite here in Pala Vinci Run. Is the favourite the one to beat in this one?
Probably is, yeah. Jessica Harrington has given her filly a bit of a chance here. Obviously, this claimer set by the trainers themselves, depending on how much they value their horses. And this one obviously receives quite a lot of weight off plenty of other horses in the race who've got lower ratings than her. So strictly on the form book and on the weight to measure, she should come out on top, as the market suggests. But you never know with these races, because we're dealing with fairly modest individuals who probably don't run to their form most of the time. It's probably a little bit more complex than at first glance. So at odds on, or, you know, a very, very skinny looking 8 to 11, 4 to 6, I'd probably pass her over here and go for a little smidgen of value in the shape of Power Grid, the top one on the race card. Now, there's a couple of opportunities here. You can either back Power Grid with the favourite around about 5-1, or without the favourite, hopefully when William Hill open up their betting on that market later on. Probably going to be in and around the 5-2 mark. And I think at the very worst, James Fiend's Charge will probably be runner-up to the favourite, because I want to get with that form that this horse showed last time out at the Curragh. It was on Irish 1,000 guineas day, and the race went the way of Manine in a very strong time. The runner-up Newsman made sure there was an end-to-end gallop, and they got strung out all over the Curragh that day to suggest the form is definitely worth following. Indeed, I do think the winner, if he goes to Royal Ascot and he gets a bit of cut in the ground, could be a key factor in one of the handicaps. Although Pagrid got beaten 20-odd lengths, it wasn't a bad run up to the point where obviously he failed to get home in the ground. He's got much better surface tonight to race on. And given that he's finished runner-up behind Drillmaster the time before in a decent service at Dundalk, there's every chance here on good to firm ground that he'll run to his very best. So despite the market suggesting otherwise, I think Power Grid, it could easily outrun his odds there in the first.
Good stuff. Let's move on to the next race, the 6:20, where it's an auction maiden. And we've got 13 runners in this one over six furlongs. What's caught your eye in this one, Andy?
Nothing really, to be honest, Michael. This is a race where I'll probably mention a few and give punters a little bit of a few options, because I definitely won't have a bet in it. There's just too many unknown quantities. It's a bit of a tricky track as well, Fairy House, for two-year-olds. Have a three furlong run to the bend, tight bend into the home straight, and then you need to have quite a well-balanced individual to handle the slight humps and hollows in the home straight. The one with the best form so far is undeniably Elusive Beauty. So it's no great surprise to see this horse trading as favourite this morning. Off the back of that good run the other day at Nace behind Royal Ascot Albany favourite Cuff, who subsequently went on to floor and lower the colours of several decent fillies in a Group 3 race subsequently. she kept on well enough in the closing stages to suggest she could be easily competitive in a race of this nature further down the line. And, you know, if you take away the unraced brigade, she's probably got the best form of the ones who've already had a run. The unraced ones include, obviously, Melisandre and Murdiff, who've been both nibbled at in the market this morning from respective trainers. Obviously, Gerlines is going really well, so Melisandre's got to be considered. And also Mike O'Callaghan, when he gets a nice two-year-old that is expected to go well, as the market suggests here, has got to be worth a look. I think the other horse that might run well out of price is She's a Diesel. She was a good fourth the other day behind Brave Anna on the opening race of the Irish 2000 Guineas Day. Graham probably was a little bit too soft on that occasion, and she wasn't too far behind Psychedelic Funk first time in it, nay. So with a low draw, I do think she's capable of perhaps running a race at a price. So not a particularly strong view in this race. Wouldn't surprise me if one of the unraced horses won it. But at the price, he's ran about 14 to 1 this morning. She's a Diesel would be my my optimum choice.
She's a Diesel in the 6.20 for Andy. Well, let's move on to the 6.50, where I've only got four runners in this rated race of a 6 furlongs. What would be the bet in this one, Andy?
Well, I'm quite surprised how the market's shaping up here. Golden Pearl's favourite, and the other two who ran at Dundalk the other night, Munchie and Blood Moon, are sort of nestled in behind her. But I must admit, I prefer Kevin Prendergast Munchie here. I thought he beat Blood Moon fairly and squarely on that particular occasion. In fact, the further he was going, the more he was leaving Gerlines' charge behind. And looking at his form profile from last year, he was a good winner over a stiff 6 furlongs at Navan. So I think the step up from 5 furlongs will suit him down to the ground here. But he has got good tactical speed as well, as we saw the other day at Dundalk. And I wouldn't be overly keen on Golden Pearl's chances, as the market suggests here. I know she was a winner of her only race last year, which is a feather in her cap, because not many Mickey Halford horses win first time out. But she's got a rating of 90, and I think that rating's overplayed here. It was an absolutely desperate race she won. Not one horse out of the 13 horses that ran out of that race managed to win, and only one hit the frame. And, you know, the fact that Pallavicini run, who was third, is running in the claimer in the first race off a mark in the 70s, suggests that I think the official assessor has probably overrated Golden Pearl. So at 13-8, she makes no appeal. Whereas Munchid, he very much looks like a horse from the Prendergast yard that is going forward in a rush. So he's the choice there.
So Munchid for Andy in the 6.50. Let's move on to the 7.20. We've got an auction maiden over 7 furlongs, 8 runners in this one. What's caught your eye in the 7.20, Andy?
Yeah, well, it's got to be Pacadali for me here. I know he's got a little bit of an exposed look about him, but to be fair, I mean, you look at the horses he's been running against this season. He could not have run in 3 more tough races for a horse of his nature. He finished 5th in a red-hot maiden first time out at the Curragh, which worked out really well, as we know. It went the way of Embryon, but there's a whole host of horses like Shamreen and Claudio Monteverdi who were in that race that have all won subsequently. He then had the misfortune to bump into the Moore Factor, who was on a going day at the Garen, 2 starts ago. The ground was desperate that day, and I don't think it really suited this son of Paco Boy. Once again, the soft underfoot terrain was in his way last time out, but it was a good effort in a listed race. I mean, you know, he's got beaten only 3 lengths by the Irish 2000 Guineas hero, Ortard, the horse that finished 3rd at the Curragh that day, Blue de Vega. He was 2nd, and Embryon, of course, who won that maiden at the Curragh early in the year in a good time, was 3rd. So he was hot on the heels of some proper Group 1 horses there. And, I mean, the greatest respect to Footbridge and Fisherman's Blues, they wouldn't be anywhere near that standard here. I mean, Fisherman's Blues having his first run of the year, he's rated 80. Footbridge was really disappointing the last day at the Curragh. And, you know, the form of that Elusive Heights maiden at Nace doesn't make that a pretty reading either. So I actually think this is not a bad bet this morning, this horse. He's been chalked up at 4 to 5. Some firms have actually gone 5 to 6 for this fellow. I think he should be massive odds on to beat these two, and I expect him to do so quite comfortably.
Well, let's move on to one of the highlights of the evening, a really intriguing 7 furlong handicap where we've got 21 runners, so plenty to choose from. In the 7.50, Andy, what would be the bet in this one?
Yeah, I'm quite keen on one in this race. This is probably my best value bet on the card, and it comes in the shape of Phoebe's Dream, who currently, at the time of recording, around about 10 past 10, is an 11 to 1 poke with William Hill. Now, even if the odds change for this horse, and let's say it's an 8 to 9, 8, 9 to 1 shot, I do think this horse represents a good deal of value in this race. Now, he finished sixth the other day in a race that went the way of Texas Radio. Back in second was Three Majors, who is a shortest price favourite in comparison to the rest of the field here, around about the 7-2 mark. But I don't think there'll be a great deal between these two horses on this occasion, because John McConnell's filly was hugely eye-catching that day. First of all, she had a coffin box draw, 14 of 16, which is very difficult to overcome at Garran. So therefore, she was at the back of the field as they turned for home. But she absolutely flew down the outside, finishing 2-2 everyone's one. A few more strides and she would have engulfed the majority of the field, not the winner, but she would have definitely beaten Three Majors with perhaps another 50 yards, 75 yards. And that suggests to me, with a level break tonight from a much better draw, now that she's had another run under her belt, I think she's going to be hugely competitive here tonight. And what looks a really, really weak race, it's hard to fancy too many horses in this race, given their dodgy-looking profiles and their form coming into this race. So, like I said, I think bookmakers have dropped a clanger with this filly this morning, and I think she's definitely worth a punt. So the 11-1 for Phoebe's Dream is probably my strongest view on the card.
So Phoebe's Dream, the one to look for in the 7:50. Let's move on to the penultimate race of the evening at Fairy House, the 8:20. We've got an apprentice handicap over 1 mile and 2 furlongs. Again, a big field to choose from with 21 runners. What will be the play in this one?
I think this is a fairly straightforward affair, really. I mean, the only horse you could back with any degree of confidence here, given the conditions here tonight, is Elusive in Paris. James Fenn has done an unbelievable job with this horse, who seems to have lost his way until bouncing back to his very best form 5 starts ago. He's done nothing wrong subsequently. He's managed to win a couple. And amazingly, he managed to finally break his duck on turf as well, which up until a couple of runs ago, he didn't look like doing. But he was really impressive that day in Killarney, when he started very strongly to win in a good time. He should have won at Garran the other day, but he got stuck in behind a war of horses. It was the day where Zorba the Greek got a beautiful ride by Declan McDonough, went down the middle of the track, got a clear run around the outside, but unfortunately both Elusive in Paris, who was second, and Worth Avenue got hooked up in behind horses, dropping back in their lap. But the main sufferer was Elusive in Paris, who burst through the gap too late and absolutely flew home with a degree of unluckiness attached to him. He's obviously in great nick at the moment. Stepping up in trip shouldn't be a problem. He's won over a mile and a quarter before. Always run over a mile and a quarter before to a good degree, a good standard. So it's hard to see him not finishing the frame here tonight, given that there's so many horses out of form and he isn't. So if you can get 7-2, quarterly odds for Elusive in Paris, I don't think you go too far wrong.
Well, Andy, let's have a look at the finale on the Fairy House card, the 8:50, where we've got a filly's maiden over 1 mile and 2 furlongs. 11 to choose from here. What would be your best bet here?
My best bet here, Michael, would be Gabardini from the informed Mickey Halford stable. I thought she ran a night-catching race first time out. She had quite a good maiden at Nace the other day on the figures. It went the way of John Ox's plan chart. But as we've seen, the form of that race has already worked out quite well on Colin Auger, who was seventh that day. And even the fourth horse home, Hartful, have both been placed in good maidens subsequently. So Gabardini's run back in six obviously has to be upgraded. I think she's bred to get further. The way she raced that evening as well suggests that she'll be very much an improved filly with an extra 2 furlongs to run. And it doesn't look a particularly strong maiden either to close the card here at a track of this nature. Obviously, Etcher's got to be considered, but she's looking quite a difficult filly to win with. Got to keep an eye on the market for a duel from the Dermot Weld Stable. Of course, any filly that he runs in a maiden has to be worth a second look. But for me, get that maiden the other day, that run behind Planchard, is certainly good enough to figure here. So Gabardini is my choice in the last.
Well, Andy, can you just recap your selections for this evening's action at Fairy House, please?
Yeah, certainly will do, Michael. Yeah, decent card tonight at Fairy House. Probably 3 or 4 bets along the way. I'm definitely going to be back in Power Grid with and without the favourites in the first race. No view particularly in the 6:20, but my token choice at a price is She's a Diesel. Munchid should hopefully uphold the form with Blood Moon in the 6:50 and get the better of Golden Pearl, who I think could be overrated in that rated race. Pacadali looks an absolute penalty kick in the 7:20. My best bet of the odds this morning, if you can get the 11-1 or any double-figure quotes for Phoebe's Dream, hopefully that should reap rewards in that competitive-looking handicap. Another strong bet in the shape of Elusive in Paris each way, if you can get 7-2 in the 8:20 in that apprentice handicap, that won't go far wrong. And Gabardini in the final race has run a couple of nice races to suggest that she's ready to go close here tonight.
Well, our thanks to Andy Holding for his thoughts on the action at Fairy House this evening. And remember, Racing Radio will have tonight's action covered in Ireland as well as the rest of today's racing. So join Mark Walton, Andrew Mount and Oliver Pimlott from 1:50 p.m. As always, Andy, thank you very much.
No problem, pal.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.